I am Joni Hubred, publisher and editor of Farmington Voice. You're listening to the Farmington Voices podcast, where we amplify the voices of people in our community. I'm on the phone with Cheryl Ouellette, Dr. Patricia Coleman-Burns, and co-chairs of the Juneteenth celebration, James Murray and Brittany Faulkner-McGee. Dr. Coleman-Burns is pastor at the First AME Church of Farmington Hills, and Cheryl Ouellette is, these folks are all part of the Beloved Community Initiative, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that is and about the celebration. So Cheryl, let's start with you and talk about the Beloved Community Initiative, the focus and the goals of that organization or group.
Okay, so we really got our start probably early in 2018 when Reverend John Burns and Reverend Dr. Pat Coleman Burns hosted a Beloved Community meeting at the First African Methodist Church. And I think it was, there were about 100 people, and we did a lot of activities that day to really look at race, at how we come together as humans, and what is a beloved community. And they had more activities planned for the future. And then in the interim, we kind of came together, both Reverend Pat Coleman Burns and Reverend John Burns and a number of other people in the community. There were 6 of us. Tangi Grant, who was one of the original members of MCMR, and Karen Linnell from First Presbyterian Church, Jonathan Kuriakos, And who am I missing, Pat?
Tom
Shirtless from MCMR, the current chair of MCMR, and he was the chair then. And we decided that we wanted to really get into some study about the last 400 years of slavery, Jim Crow, race in this country, and understand the impact of our history on all of us. And so we began to study, and we decided to travel together to Montgomery, Alabama, to visit the Equal Justice Initiative and the Legacy Museum. We also went to Selma and walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And that really, we really bonded during that time. And we decided at that point, Reverend John Burns kind of pushed us and he said, this can grow into our beloved community. And so we began working on that, and we became the Beloved Community Initiative, and we have just continued to grow from there. That's how we started. I should leave it there and see what Pat might have to add.
I think what's important about the Beloved Community is that John and Cheryl would put their heads together sometimes in the midnight hours and raise the questions of what was going on in the community. And he really, and the two of them had a vision of this community, Farmington Hills, being a model community. He had such a vision of how we might come together, and we would struggle over what we would call ourselves. And John would say we needed to be called Who We Be. And, of course, the English teachers and all of us and the grammar, we said, you can't say who. No, because we the people of the United States, we, who is we? And so our commitment was to create an experiment, if you will, that included those who would come to grasp the question of what it takes for us to be we. And so that's what we've been doing. Joni, you might know that we lost him about a year ago today.
Yes.
And a great outpouring of the community because his vision was so broad, so wide reaching that I think many people who either knew him in the short time here in Farmington really understood the passion and could see it unfolding before their eyes. So that's where we are now, that people are grasping a vision, particularly in this time, a vision of not only where we've been or who we are, but what we can become, how to transform ourselves.
Okay. And tell me how the Juneteenth celebration fits into that vision. And anybody can start with this.
Well, maybe I need to lead because these young folks were recruited, sometimes voluntold. But I think it's the work of first African Methodist Episcopal is probably the core, as opposed to the other way around. So it's not that Juneteenth comes out of BCI, it's that Juneteenth comes out of the vision and commitment of John and Fame in terms of having a celebration of Juneteenth. When John was a pastor in Lansing, and if you were at the funeral or heard, the Lansing folk just poured out, making, just celebrating his life. Because when John and I were in Lansing at St. Matthew AME Church, he organized that whole community, and we became involved in the largest 17th celebration at the state of Michigan, which is out of Lansing. And we were able to add our value to the celebration, bringing in resources and funds, but Lansing was the largest one in the state of Michigan. Now, there are many other celebrations of Juneteenth here in Michigan, in Ann Arbor and in Detroit. But John felt, wait a minute, we have one of the most diverse communities, Farmington Hills, we need to bring Juneteenth here. And so it is out of that vision that he decided that we would have the first ever Juneteenth last year. But as you well know, in the midst of that, he died. And yes. Mabel Fox and Jackie Boulware, in the middle of my mourning, took up the mantle, and we had the first ever Juneteenth celebration of the Farmington Hills area. And it was quite an amazing, on the hottest day in Michigan at that time. But I think that was the origin of Juneteenth. And his idea was that why shouldn't our community benefit from the rich history of the African-American struggle in this country and how we all can benefit from learning the lessons and coming together as a beloved community.
All right.
Joni, let me add, could I add one piece to what Pat said?
Sure.
And really in response to your question, that the beloved community, we operate kind of under the auspices of the First African Methodist Episcopal Church. That's our meeting place. And we think that that's really that in itself is a model, because we are a diverse community and we're operating within the First AME Church. And we're proud of that.